One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Paul?
I'm going to kill you.
Why?
Because you have just seamlessly slotted into the stereotype of the old man who doesn't understand technology. Old man yells at cloud. That's John Verhoeven. Can I just clue listeners in? For like days, Dad's been getting increasingly angry that his bloody microphone doesn't work. There's a fucking drop-down menu. I told you to okay. Click and you're like, I did. I clicked it.
Paul.
Yeah.
To quote Horatio, hornblower.
Uh-huh.
To err is human. And you know what the last part of that is?
What?
To forgive is divine.
I think that might have been Popeye.
Whatever. Whoever.
Anyway, welcome to another episode of Loose Units, Loose Ends. I'm Paul Verhoeven, that's John Verhoeven. And Dad, how has your week been?
Paul, it's been beyond exciting.
I wanted to chat with you about something that Tegan and I have noticed. Now, a couple of episodes ago, we told yourself and listeners about the guy who crashed into our car and wrote it off. We've since gotten a new car. It's really great. Everything's sorted out. But one thing that the police officer who attended the accident told us was that most accidents nowadays are caused by people on their fucking phones. Mm. So, Dad, I wanted to get your perspective. Obviously, when you were a cop, people didn't have mobile phones.
No.
How prevalent do you think this is, and have you ever had any encounters with people, you know, driving like absolute idiots, and then it's the phone that they're on?
One of the most troublesome things I find, because I do a lot of kilometres, for those listeners that that know me, they'll know that I've done almost 250,000 kilometres in my ute, and people are actually asking me to send some actual proof that I actually do drive a ute.
Right.
So I might do something. I'd do a little bit of a walk around.
Hang on, what benefit would there be for you to pretend you have a ute? You do realize, Dad, all they're looking for is an excuse to talk to you. Like, they don't actually think you don't drive a ute.
No, but I'm very fond of my ute.
Oh, no, I know.
It's your steed. And I'd like to prove to some of the listeners that I actually do have a very extensive length of rope that's actually tying on the bull bar to the actual car.
You love that bull bar. Yeah.
I love it. Okay, so in Sydney, who hasn't been at a set of lights, particularly if it's a very short phase, and you're number two, and the car in front, you're watching, you can see their face in their rear view mirror, and they're looking down, and you know they're on the phone, and you're waiting. It's a fine line between, look, you've got to give them a little bit of time, and then by the time you toot, they look up, they just get through the light, and you get the red.
Yep,
and they just drive off into oblivion, not caring. They may feel guilty. But to quote that famous phrase from, dare I say it, that holy book, let he who is without sin cast the first stone.
I think that was Popeye as well.
Right. So the thing is, Paul, that who of us drivers hasn't, on the balance of probabilities, been guilty of that? I'm going to stick my hand up straight up and say I have.
But so, shouldn't you, as an ex-cop that people listen to, basically just look dead at the listener and say, just stay off your fucking phone? Like, surely you don't need to be on your phone when you drive, right?
No, you're right.
Like,
but phones are one develops almost a compulsion to use the phone.
Yeah.
And people if they haven't had a on Instagram, for example, I like my Instagram's flashing all the time now, which is pretty exciting, including all night. So it's like being in a very slow motion disco.
Yeah, tone it down, guys. Like, you know, business hours only.
No. Paul, don't ever say tone it down on my Instagram account. And also, it's international. What does that mean?
It means
people from all over the world are experiencing and enjoying my Instagram account in different time zones.
All right.
So I'm happy for it to be flashing all day and all night.
I guess what I'm trying to say, Dad, is how many is the deluge of listeners following Dad on Instagram and chatting with him, how much of that traffic do you think could be contributing to a future car crash of yours, like a future prang?
Okay. It's a very, very good point you brought up and something that I have thought about quite often, and I don't know whether we've ever touched on this, but it's slightly esoteric, if I may use that word. And that is that our life is already, there are schools of thought that say it's already preordained. So if you go all the way back to when you were conceived, have we had this discussion? Not when you were conceived, because I'd never ever go in.
Fucking Muppet. Dad, what are you talking about? What is this?
Paul,
yes,
you said to me something about if you do something, does it have ramifications in terms of the future?
Yeah, but no, I was trying to say, do you think the listeners, you know, getting on your Facebook and sending notifications to your phone, do you think they're going to crash your car? I wasn't asking you to go back to the moment I was conceived.
I wasn't talking about you specifically, Paul. But it's all about the future in terms of what you do now. Like, imagine if you... Okay, imagine you leave your house... You hop in the car and then you realize you've left something on. You go back inside. You then turn that appliance off. Then you hop back in your car and you drive out and you get hit by a tram. Do you realize that if you hadn't have left that thing on inside the house, you wouldn't have gone back, which means you then would have driven out the driveway and not hit the tram?
Are you trying to say that they may as their message, what are you trying to say, that the messages that you're getting, the notifications you're getting, could just as well save your life? So is that what you're trying to say?
No, I think what I'm saying is fairly fascinating.
I don't even know if you know what you're saying, but that's okay, because I've checked and the National Safety Council reports that cell phone usage, mobile phone usage while driving leads to about 1.6 million crashes a year.
Okay, do you want to hear a really really horrific story?
I mean, that's kind of the whole show, but yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's a mobile phone story.
Oh, yeah, okay,
there
great.
There are lots and lots and lots of them. Paul, remember the other day we were chatting about that particular notorious stretch of road on the Northern Beaches called the Wacos Parkway, and there was a detective that had the car accident and he had his arm torn off?
Yeah, the arm torn off, yeah.
Well, there was also another accident just a few years ago where a young girl was driving down the parkway and she was chatting to her boyfriend... And he heard her crash the car while he was talking to her.
No.
And she was killed. So he was talking to her up until he actually heard the point of impact, which would have been terrible.
No.
And he actually heard her die. And that's a story from that same stretch of road. And you can bet your bottom dollar that people have lost their lives whilst being on the telephone. That's irrefutable. And remember in those old movies, not necessarily old even, but when people, you know, something terrible happened to them and they were wearing a wristwatch
the watch is broken and that's how they know the
precisely.
Moment.
Precisely. Well, I've been to those. I've been to suicides and I've been to car accidents and I've been to all sorts of horrendous things. I went to a particularly horrific suicide in Manly where... a young guy jumped off a cliff. He jumped off backwards, which is fairly, pretty unusual, I think.
Yeah.
But he had a wristwatch, and it was smashed at the time. It was right. It had broken at the time he hit the ground. And there are other cases of skydiving accidents where people hit the ground at, you know, incredible speed. I've mentioned to you and the listeners, I think, about skydiving. Generally, when people die skydiving, all their leg bones travel right through their heels. I've mentioned that, haven't I? Because what happens is you're trying to sort of claw your way back up this invisible ladder, and invariably you land feet first, and your feet sort of stop, but your bones and your legs keep traveling through, so they puncture, they spear through your heels.
Did you ever deal with any skydiving accidents?
When I was skydiving, I lost 3 friends in different accidents. And I was actually invited on a trip to El Capitan, which is a mountain, 4,100 sheer cliff face in Colorado. Because when I was doing skydiving in the late 70s, base jumping was just starting to become popular.
You never base jumped, did you?
No, I wanted to. The thought of jumping off cliffs and buildings, I had a lot of friends that did it, and it really, really appealed to me. And I had friends that used to climb massive towers and just jump off. There's the bridge, the Moonee Bridge, just north of Sydney.
Yeah.
They've now put, in fact, with a lot of bridges you find now, they put up fencing.
Yeah.
But in the early days, you could just pull up really quickly and just, you'd obviously have some mates in the car because someone would have to take the car and park it at the other side, and you'd just do a hop and pop, which means you just jump off and just open your parachute straight away. The thing with opening a parachute at very low speed, which is because initially when you jump, you're not really hurtling at what's called terminal velocity. So it takes a little bit of air. So let's imagine you jumped off the Moonee Bridge. I reckon it's probably only about maybe 250, 300 feet, which is bugger all.
Sure.
So imagine if you just jumped off and didn't have a parachute. So you'd take, I'm just imagining from my, I'm sort of trying to visualize a human jumping off that bridge with no parachute. And it'd take, I reckon, maybe 3 to 4 seconds to hit the bottom.
That's not long.
It's not long. So imagine you've got a parachute on your back. Now, you don't need two parachutes.
There's no time for a backup.
No time for the reserve.
Yep.
So you go over the bridge, and you hold the the cord. To do base jumping, you're gonna have a ram air canopy, which is the square or rectangular type.
Yeah.
And you're gonna have it's gonna be and you'll have no reserve. And what you need to do is, as you go over the rail, you then automatically deploy. And what you require is a little bit of speed, a little bit of wind, a little bit of air, because the air creates the drag that begins to pull the main canopy off your back. But it needs to inflate as well. So because when a parachute comes out, particularly a ram air canopy, it's sort of all crumpled. It's like a paper bag that's been screwed up, and you need to really get the air happening. And it's got all these sort of foils. They're individual capsules, and you need each one of them to fill with air. And I've seen guys jump and actually fully open, 50 feet off the ground, which is unbelievable.
Like, how fast are you stopping how fast are you slowing down, decelerating when that deploys?
Well, in general skydiving, you're doing, on average, about 120 kilometres an hour.
Yep.
So you go from 120 down to maybe 5 kilometres an hour in about 1 second.
Jesus Christ.
Mm. There have been some incredible skydiving incidents over the years. One of the most, I've seen a lot of really, really bad stuff because I was into it for quite a few years, and I followed everything very, very thoroughly, and I was quite fascinated. Funnily enough, before I got into the police force and ultimately into forensics, I found everything to do with skydiving, and I'd had three malfunctions myself, so I really was. I think when you're skydiving or base jumping, you're right at the edge in terms of, there are only a few other activities. I may have mentioned I'd never do bungee jumping. With respect, greatest of respect to
bungee jumpers,
bungee jumpers and the owners of those businesses. I've stood on the bridge. I've been down to the Hackett Bridge where it all started, and I've been to quite a few other places around the world. And I've stood there, right out on the precipice, and I just thought, can't do it because you've only got one chance, at least with skydiving, except for base jumping. But I know guys that have base jumped, or I knew guys that base jumped off El Capitan and other big mountains, and everything was really, really fine, except a gust of wind had blow them into the side of the mountain. And then their canopy had collapse, and they'd just fall to their death.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side?
helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
If they were lucky.
That's fucked.
Because a friend of ours, and you may remember when we lived in Manly, do you recall that really lovely couple? And he used to get around on his, he used to crawl around on his back, on his bottom.
What?
Yeah, he was a top IT guy with Apple. And he'd been paragliding in the Himalayas, and he came smack, at great speed, he flew into the side of one of the big mountains there. And he used his ankles, as you do, to sort of break the impact, and he smashed his two ankles, and he never really recovered. So yeah, I mean, you know, you remember, and have I mentioned to the listeners that I was doing paragliding, a place called Manila near Tamworth?
The way you told it to me was that you didn't actually get to the paragliding part because somebody fell to their death.
Yeah, the day before, a person in front of a whole lot of tourists, he took off on his maiden flight. Yeah, there were hundreds of people up there. And he took off and everything was great until he looked down and realised he hadn't tied himself in properly. He hadn't done up his straps. And he was hanging on and hanging on. And you can only hang on for so long.
Yeah.
And eventually they just saw him just fall from the sky.
It reminds me of, because I mean, I think I've told this story before as well. I jumped off a casino. I jumped off the Stratosphere Casino.
Oh, I saw that. That is a seriously exciting piece of footage.
It was great. So they mounted a wrist camera on me when I jumped off the Stratosphere Casino in Vegas. And you know what? I'm going to pop that up on the Facebook page.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
If you don't already follow us on Facebook, we're at the facebook.com/loose units. We have discussions. We post cool content. So if you're not already on there, but I am going to pop the video of me jumping off this.
It's really spectacular. And Paul, might I say that one of the great things about our Friday chats is we can just chat about whatever we like.
Whatever we want.
And here's a little story. I used to jump out of DC-3s from about 18,000 feet at Corowa in the Nationals.
Yeah.
And we used to get about 80, 82, 83 seconds of free fall. Have I ever told you any of those stories?
I don't. No,
when I was testing out an altimeter that I was going to buy off a guy, a second-hand one, and with an altimeter, when you're doing relative work, which means doing sort of four-man formations or eight-man or 16-men, I say men and women formations, when you're in a big group, you've obviously got to sort of all get away from each other pretty quickly.
Mm.
So then you can open your parachute with relative safety. You do not want to be opening up your parachute in anywhere close to another person because you get all tangled up and you both die.
Of course.
So with your altimeter at 3,500 feet, you then break off, and then you do what's called max track, which means you sort of do 45 degrees. So for every 2 feet you fall, you cover a foot across and you fly away into an area that's safe, and then you deploy at 2.5. So you've got 1,000 feet, which is about 10, 12 seconds to get away from everyone and deploy. But I was the last person out of this DC-3. I'm testing out this altimeter that I was going to buy.
Yep.
Bearing in mind that you've got to, if you're doing relative work at 3,500 feet, you break away at 2.5, and not a lot less than 2.5, you open your main. And the reason you do that at 2.5 is that if you have a malfunction, you've then got to go back into free fall, and you're still falling. And then you've got to, and you do what's called a cutaway, where you cut away from your main. Yep. You don't cut away from your main canopy, and you deploy your reserve. Your reserve can come out and wrap around your main. You've then what's called a double malfunction or a Roman candle, and you come shitting into the earth at about 90 miles an hour.
Fucking hell.
Although I do know one guy that actually survived that. Well, there have been a few. There were people in the Second World War that jumped out of like big bombers over Europe that were on fire, and they just jumped out. And some guys, if they were lucky, landed on the side of a mountain, snow-covered trees, and some of them survived. and survived pretty well. And then probably froze to death.
Crazy. That's absolutely crazy. Speaking of jumping and falling, by the way, we got a question which kind of relates to this, Dad, if you'd like to hear it from one of our listeners.
I love these questions. And I haven't heard the question, have I?
No, you haven't heard the question. So you've had no time to prep, and I've had no time to vet your answer. Here we go. Bruce asks, please ask your dad, if no alternative, up to what height would a fireman attempt to physically catch someone?
Oh, bloody good question. Shit. Well, you know there have been some incredible cases of people catching babies, don't you?
No. Well, I assumed there would have been, but I don't know any specifics, no.
Yeah, there have been. If you look, about a year ago, there was a case of they threw a baby out of a building. Not just for fun.
Oh, good.
Like Michael Jackson almost did. Remember that?
Yeah, he hung his baby over a baking balcony.
I'm surprised he could do that with his plastic limbs.
I'm surprised people were surprised he did something bizarre, but anyway. True.
So it takes about 10 seconds for an object to reach terminal velocity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul, you know that in zero gravity, if you have a feather and a brick, you know what I'm about to say, don't you?
They travel at the same speed.
Precisely. Isn't that incredible?
Bizarre.
A brick and a feather.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether they actually took a feather up to the moon, but I've seen footage of it in zero gravity and it's amazing.
Right.
What's that got to do with what we're talking about?
Good question.
Well, not a lot. But you know that I do like to introduce fun facts into my answers.
Yeah.
And eventually we do get there.
Yeah.
So the question was, okay, people have actually caught babies. That's a very good question. I'm just trying to imagine. I mean, if it was, say, a baby that weighed 10... Oh, no, I'll convert to kilos. If it was a baby that weighed, say, 70 kilos...
Cool.
Problems.
Got massive problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if it was a baby that weighed, say, 10 kilos...
Yep.
But you'd have to position yourself just right and look up and imagine if you missed.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm not very good at catching balls.
It's a baby, not a ball.
No, I know, but I'm not good at catching balls. Some people have very good dexterity. They can just catch things. Yeah, I'm just saying, imagine if it's coming down and you just set yourself up in the slightly wrong position
and you
just missed.
Yep.
And it just dropped in front of you.
I'm loving this.
That'd be pretty bad.
Yep.
Perhaps a little bit worse, if it landed on your head. Now, I know the imagery is pretty crook.
Yeah.
Particularly when there'd be I imagine there'd be quite a few bystanders. Imagine the parents throwing their baby out and you're missing it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Is there an end to this story that has in any way a satisfying conclusion that justifies the story itself, or what do you think?
No, it's a great story. I mean, it's a great question. If a human being jumped and you, there's just no way. I mean, maybe one story, but I think it'd do some serious damage to both of you.
Right.
I mean, if you caught that person and they were falling in the right way, and the perfect way for them to fall would be kind of in a horizontal position with their buttocks facing the earth, so you could kind of catch them in your arms.
Yeah.
But they'd fall so quickly, and you have to position yourself exactly and know where they're going to. What happens if you think you're in the right thing and they throw themselves off the building, like out, they spring off and just jump right over you and land behind you? Paul?
So what you're doing is you're flagrantly speculating about how to catch a baby with no real...
I wasn't talking about a baby on that occasion. I was talking about an adult.
Sure it wasn't a 70-kilo baby?
Well, it could be, but that baby, again, I draw your attention, that baby has got problems.
Yeah.
In that it's not a baby. It might be a grown person wearing a huge diaper. If I was in a situation, and people do think about what they're going to do in fires, I would grab a mattress and I would hold the mattress and I'd jump out. And it would...
What?
What? What do you mean what?
How many floors up would you be willing to do that from?
Well, depending on...
Let's say you're, you know, three stories up and you have a...
Three would be the max, but I'd definitely jump from... I'd definitely do with a mattress, a good mattress.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking high quality, not some Japanese fold-out thing that is like a yoga mat.
Right.
I mean, but a proper mattress, assuming you could get it out onto the balcony,
yeah.
I'd brace it like a star, in a star shape.
Yep.
And I'd kind of reach up and then hold on tightly and lunge out.
Now, you know what you've done? You've made a classic mistake, Dad, because when you drop toast with something on it, it always falls spreading down.
Okay, good point.
And you're heavier than the, you know what I mean? I think what you'd
have
is...
Okay, but you can control. The toast is an inanimate object. It has no life source.
It's not a fucking magic carpet. You can't steer this thing to the ground.
Yes, you can. You can control it.
How?
And it'll be buffeting. And you just try and maintain. If it flipped over,
yeah,
which gravity would probably want it to do,
yeah,
then the mattress,
steer it back.
Then you'd... The mattress, not only would you land on your back and break your spine and you'd be basically rat shit, but the mattress would then land on top of you,
yep.
Which could be good if there was a second person that they could then jump out and land on the mattress.
So how about you and someone else both grab one side each and then it's like flipping a coin basically, but the stakes are way higher.
One on the top and one on the bottom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So imagine that...
you could be spinning.
Yeah.
You'd have to be pretty high up to do that.
And, I mean, dream scenario, it lands on its side and then just deposits you both quite gently onto the ground. That's what you want.
But,
you know?
Paul, hear me out. If you were to be able... And I'd give it a bash, to quote Roy and HG.
I know you would.
I would definitely, but I'd kind of more lunge out and try and get a bit of momentum and a bit of a glide happening.
Like a fruit bat.
Yeah.
Like a sugar
glider.
And
who knows, you could end up in the neighbour's property. It's incredible where it might take you.
And then they're probably liable for your medical bills, which is a plus plus.
But right. I would definitely use a mattress. There's no doubt about it.
So in answer to your question, Bruce, I mean, I don't know if we answered anything. Did we answer anything?
Well, another thing too you could do, Paul, is you could get lots and lots of sheets and towels and tie them around your body like a mummy and then lunge out.
So what you're saying is cover yourself in so much fabric that you're basically bubble wrapped.
Correct. And then just see what happens.
Just see what happens. And you know what? If you die, they don't have to bury you because you're already buried in fabric. They can just shove that in a tube and pop you away. Look, this has been a very odd episode of Loose Ends.
I've really enjoyed it. And I think it's important to have a bit of jocularity occasionally.
Jocularity. Can someone pop on iTunes and leave us a review that just says 5 stars, jocularity, please? And if you haven't already done so, and if you want to show us some love, all you have to do is head across to iTunes or Spotify, leave us a review, leave us a rating. And if you haven't already, don't forget to hop online and go to Booktopia. It's a great place to grab Electric Blue if you want to pre-order it before Father's Day. So head along to Booktopia and look it up. Also, we've had a whole bunch of overseas listeners getting in touch and saying, how can I get a copy of Electric Blue, Paul's second book about stuff that Dad did? All you have to do is go to Book Depository. So Book Depository will actually be stocking this book and shipping it globally. So if you're an overseas listener, whether you're in America, England, Japan, you know, Croatia, it doesn't matter. Head across to Book Depository. But whatever you do, don't miss out. Get your copy of Electric Blue and keep sending in your questions because they basically keep us going and we absolutely love them. Yep.
Paul, you know how you said Book Depository?
Mm.
What does that remind you of anything?
Yes, the assassination of JFK.
Correct. He shot JFK from a book. I was going to say suppository.
A book suppository. Yeah. Yeah, it's just a very small book.
I can't wait for the book, Paul. I'm really excited. I'm really, really excited. We're not allowed to talk about the last 100 pages, are we?
No, we aren't. But let me tell you something. It's going to be a big deal. It's very exciting. So if you don't want to miss out, grab your copy of Electric Blue right now. Pre-order it. Get us on the charts and we will be eternally grateful. We will see you next week for more Loose Units.
All the best. Thank you.
It's very formal.
Oh, well,
Want to try something more casual?
No, I like formality occasionally.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.